Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Cinematic Universe, the podcast that's all about comic book movies, which you can now find at cinematicuniverse.com. I'm your host, Joe Cunningham, and I'll be bringing you a truncated version of the show to bridge the gap between our Wonder Woman and Dread episodes. I'll be giving you my reactions to the comics that Seven James recommended on last week's podcast. Those were both from Wonder Woman, Volume 2, Issues 1 to 7, and then Issue 600. But before any of that, let's take a look at some of the comic book movie news that has broken over the past week. And I should probably start off this section by saying you can find a lot of this news now at cinematicuniverse.com, as well as a bunch of other features and reviews and stuff like that. And obviously you'll continue to find the podcast there. So if you haven't checked out the website yet, please do. We're putting a lot of work and effort into it, and I think we're pretty pleased with how it's unfolding so far. But to the news on the podcast, I think the biggest news this week is all of the X-Men Dark Phoenix stuff, which to some extent is just confirming a bunch of stuff that we already knew, but is interesting nonetheless. So Simon Kinberg, as expected, is going to be directing X-Men Dark Phoenix. They're managing to get back like most of the original cast from the last few movies. So Jennifer Lawrence, Michael Fassbender, James McAvoy are all coming back. Also rejoining the cast, Nicholas Hoult, Alexandra Shipp, Sophie Turner, Ty Sheridan, Cody Smith-McPhee. So I think the only major omission from that list is Evan Peters, who played Quicksilver, obviously. And he was part of that kind of team lineup at the end of X-Men Apocalypse. I wouldn't be surprised if there's still a cameo or something. Maybe it's a scheduling issue because Quicksilver has been a character who's been well received by audiences. So I wouldn't imagine it's like a conscious choice to cut him out of it. I think the most interesting thing here is the villain casting, with Jessica Chastain rumoured to be in line to play the villain Lilandra, who is a Shi'ar empress. I was chatting to Seven James about this and asking them, is it strange that she is being described as a villain? Because from what I know about the character in the comics, the times I've read her, she doesn't seem like an obvious villain. And we kind of agreed that it would probably be more apt to describe her as an antagonist in the Dark Phoenix story rather than a villain. And so maybe it will be a more nuanced role. Or perhaps they're changing the character of Lilandra for the film to make her more direct villain. I would have guessed, though, that the Dark Phoenix entity in Jean Grey would be the main villain of this movie, especially given that it's called X-Men Dark Phoenix. But obviously Jessica Chastain's a fantastic actress, and she would be a great get for any superhero movie. And I hope this works out, because she would be great. And I, despite the Simon Kinberg thing as director, I still kind of have high hopes for this movie. They've got all of the cast they want back, and Kinberg, we don't know what he can actually do behind the camera. He's had some success as a producer of the X-Men franchise. I think he came in after or during The Last Stand and has kind of been part of the franchise since, which obviously had some ups and downs, but I think has, you know, in the last few years, well, since First Class and then stuff like Logan, there's been some of the most interesting X-Men stuff going on. So yeah, we'll see what Simon Kinberg can do, and that film is set for November 2nd, 2018. Our next piece of news is the Black Panther trailer, which I really, really liked this trailer, you guys. Michael B. Jordan as the villain Killmonger looks incredible. Like, scary and sexy at the same time. Like, that haircut is working for Michael B. Jordan. But there are other people in this film as well. I've actually done a detailed trailer breakdown. I've taken out some screenshots and explained who a bunch of the characters are, and try to decipher what might be going on in Black Panther based on what they've shown is in that first trailer. You can find that on the website. But yeah, I really liked this. It was set to a Run the Jewels track, and I'm pretty excited. I also, because I liked the music in the trailer, I was like, I wonder who's doing the score for Black Panther. And it's Ludwig Göransson, who's worked with Childish Gambino on a bunch of his music in the past. And has scored, I think he scored Fruitvale Station for Ryan Coogler in the past as well. So, I am really, really looking to Black Panther. Really, really looking forward to Black Panther after that first trailer, which was pretty great. To some more Fox stuff now, and New Mutants. New Mutants has been filling out some of the rest of its cast. So a Brazilian actor called Henry Zaga will be playing Sunspot. That's been the most controversial piece of casting so far. The character in the comics is Brazilian. I believe he was originally portrayed as Black Brazilian and has more recently been kind of depicted with lighter skin. I don't know enough about that to wade into that controversy, but to point out that controversy is out there. An actress called Blue Hunt, great name, has been cast in the role of Danielle Moonstar. She is apparently a cast member on The Originals, a show I'm not familiar with. And then Charlie Heaton, who was part of the Stranger Things cast, I would say one of the weaker parts of the Stranger Things cast, but he was in talks and presumably has joined the cast now as Sam Guthrie Cannonball. Which kind of rounds out the main New Mutants cast. So they're obviously joining Anya Taylor-Joy and Maisie Williams. And Rosario Dawson is also in talks to be in that movie in, I think, what sounds like more of a mentor role. So that's pretty cool as well. So yeah, I would say of the two Fox movies, of the two X-Men movies in development right now, I'm looking forward to New Mutants more than I am Dark Phoenix. It sounds very, very interesting from what Josh Boone has had to say about it. So yeah, I think just because it sounds a little bit different, I'm more intrigued by that at the moment than I am Dark Phoenix. But everything's coming together for Fox this week. Let's do a brief bit of casting news now. And Ant-Man and Deadpool 2, two different studios, but both have announced pieces of casting for what are supposed to be key roles, according to the reporting, but we don't know what those roles are. So Hannah John-Kamen has joined Ant-Man. She's an actress best known for a role in Black Mirror. And then Deadpool 2 has cast an actress called Shioli Kutsuna in a key role as well, but again, we don't know who they are. So I thought that we should point out those pieces of casting that probably a year from now, it'll be like, oh, that person's great in this movie, or that person was pretty surprisingly pivotal in this movie. But yeah, we don't know who they are. We're being told they're key roles. They may or may not be. Let's move over to DC now. There's a bunch of interesting stuff coming out of DC in the wake of Wonder Woman's release, which we should point out has been a massive commercial and critical success. We're probably going to see some of the fallout from that happening. We know that Justice League is undergoing some major reshoots at the moment under Joss Whedon. It sounds like at this point that the reshoots are maybe not as drastic as they're completely remaking the film, but are more extensive than your average reshoots that are scheduled in at this kind of point in production normally. But Joss Whedon did say he was continuing on with what Zack Snyder had kind of planned and what Zack Snyder had his vision for the rest of the movie, and that he was just kind of completing that vision. That being said, Hans Zimmer has been replaced as the composer on that film with Danny Elfman, which is interesting. I don't want to read too much into that, but it's almost difficult not to. Geoff Johns has also been talking about the DC Universe this past week. And he said in an interview with The Wrap that he wanted to, quote, get to the essence of the character and make the movies fun. Just make sure that the characters are characters with heart, humour, hope, heroics and optimism at the base. Which I think the most generous reading of the DCEU so far, that has not been the case outside of Wonder Woman. I'm sure some people would try and argue that it has been, but it just hasn't. And so if that is the approach for these films going forward, then they are changing to be more like Wonder Woman than Batman v Superman. There's no doubt about that. And Danny Elfman replacing Hans Zimmer on Justice League. I mean, Danny Elfman has done some moody gothic stuff, but I think there is more of a kind of like a spring to the step of the Danny Elfman score than there is to a Hans Zimmer one. Anyway, Hans Zimmer is a composer whose music tends to match the serious nature of directors like Chris Nolan and Zack Snyder. I mean, he obviously did Pirates of the Caribbean, which is one of the jauntiest, best scores of all time. But I think certainly in the superhero realm, Danny Elfman feels like it's a step in the direction of a lighter tone and touch. Also at DC, we're expecting now the next movies that will appear after Aquaman to be Justice League Dark and Batgirl. Justice League Dark, we know, lost its director in Doug Liman, so I'd be less confident about that than I would be about Batgirl, which obviously has Joss Whedon writing and directing, and Joss Whedon is now heavily involved at DC after taking over from Zack Snyder on Justice League. That probably suggests that The Flash hasn't fixed its behind-the-scenes woes yet, and that they're not going to be pushing forward any faster with films like Shazam or Green Lantern Corps or Cyborg. And I think the only other one that I can think that was in the running to be the next film after this was the Gotham City Sirens, the kind of Suicide Squad follow-up, or perhaps even Suicide Squad 2 itself. DC have a lot of films in development, but yeah, at this point it looks like Batgirl, I think, maybe next after Aquaman, and then Justice League Dark, if they can get that one sorted. And our last bit of movie news is that Shadow Man, which is one of these Valiant superheroes who I know absolutely nothing about, has got a new writer and director team. Reginald Hudlin, who apparently is a comics writer who did a long run on the Black Panther comics, he has signed up to direct, and he's also going to be co-writing the scripts with Salem showrunner Adam Simon. That's about as much as I can say about that, because I really don't know anything about Shadow Man. But Shadow Man, certainly the Valiant superheroes, they're certainly developing those. They might be a thing. A Sin City TV show is in development. It's got Glenn Mazzara, who is the showrunner of The Walking Dead, involved, and Les Wiseman. It's just in development right now. There's nothing more to it than that. I don't really see the appeal of a Sin City TV show, given that the film was kind of driven by how stylized it was, and can't imagine that the TV would be able to recreate that, and certainly whether that would be interesting 2-3 seasons in, I don't know. But a Sin City TV show is in the works, as is a remake of Misfits, a US remake of Misfits, which was a British superhero TV show. It starred people like Ewan Rian, who has gone on to Game of Thrones and Inhumans, which is relevant to our interests, I guess, and Antonia Thomas, people like that. It was a pretty good show. It looked like it was going to go on to be much more interesting than it ultimately ended up being. Joe Gilgan joined the cast later on, but it lost all its cast. It had to replace most of them, and wasn't really able to realise its potential, I think. But a US remake is in the works for the second time, I think. And a pilot has been ordered by Freeform. Seven James, very excited that we have a new season regular for Riverdale Series 2. That is Skeet Ulrich, who was a big part of Season 1, and admittedly one of the stronger parts of Season 1, and will be returning in a series regular capacity for Series 2. And then finally, Legends of Tomorrow.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mora has cast an actress called Tal Ash. She will be playing a character who in the comics was known as Isis. I think it's fair to... say that will not be the role she's playing in the show. She will either have a different name or be playing a slightly different character. The role is a character called Zari Adriana Tomaz. She's going to be joining the main team in Legends of Tomorrow, and notably she is a Muslim American superhero, which means that the DC shows have beaten Marvel to the punch there. Marvel, get that Miss Marvel movie in development. Which, I should add, another plug for the website, Seb James and I wrote a feature together about the 15 female superheroes that we'd like to see getting a solo movie adaptation after the success of Wonder Woman. I included Miss Marvel because she's great. Okay, we'll move on now to the comic book recommendations. And I think I should do these chronologically because we've got Wonder Woman Volume 2, Issues 1 to 7, which was the relaunch of Wonder Woman, the reimagining of Wonder Woman that came alongside the Batman and Superman relaunches that have been previously recommended on this podcast, both of which I liked. This is written by a creative team of Greg Potter, George Perez and Bruce Patterson. And as Seb said on the podcast last week, is an origin story for Wonder Woman that isn't massively dissimilar to the one in the movie. Structurally, it's kind of similar. There is more in there from the comics in the movie than you would think. But it's also not a direct adaptation. The comic is a lot more concerned with the gods, the Greek pantheon. There is... lots of gods who play a much more active role. Ares is the villain, but his sons, whose names I've already forgotten, are a part of it as well. There is a demon god called Decay who shows up. And it's basically Wonder Woman essentially fighting with Ares after we find out her origin story and the origin story of the Amazons and how all the Greek myths and legends play into that. And then, yeah, a fairly standard, straightforward, heroic origin story for Diana as Wonder Woman, how the world discovers her as Wonder Woman. I don't want to dig too deep into all of the plot specifics because it's kind of an efficient, decently told origin story for Wonder Woman. But it feels like because this is reimagining her origin at this point in the comics... it's more concerned with the plotting and the structure of that origin rather than the character itself. Like, the character comes across as very boring. And I know Seven James have said that they've not really been interested in Wonder Woman comics before. And there doesn't really seem to be much to the character here. She's an icon and she is like she's got like a chosen one savior narrative within the Amazonians and the Greeks, but she's not, there's not much to her beyond that. She's kind of nice, and she's good, and she's very successful at being Wonder Woman. But yeah, there's kind of, I didn't get a huge amount of character from her. And so this is one of those that I would compare, like, just after seeing the movie, having to hold the two up side by side and going, okay, so this is kind of the definitive Wonder Woman origin in the comics, and I think the movie just did it better. Like, I agree with exactly what Seb said in the podcast last week, that this is the movie version of this origin story. I think will become the definitive one moving forward. I think that will be what people consider as Wonder Woman's origin, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the comics find a way to kind of get much closer to that origin, to get much closer to that version of the character, because the movie just nailed it, basically. I did kind of like the first issue is very much focused on the Greeks and their history, and it ties into actual like Greek mythology from ancient Greece, and it overlaps with the story of Hercules, who comes across as a horrible, horrible bastard in this when he encounters the Amazons. That kind of stuff felt new and fresh and interesting, and weirdly it was kind of almost like the story became a bit more dull and predictable once Wonder Woman came into it. Steve Trevor is kind of a little bit irrelevant. He's there, but he's there kind of fighting in a plot that's kind of irrelevant and kind of disjointed away from Wonder Woman. There are some other supporting characters who weren't in the movie. Etta Candy is there, but there's some other supporting characters who Wonder Woman encounters, who again feel like a good way to ground her to the human race, to give her that connection. But I didn't feel like, oh, the movie really missed an opportunity by not introducing them. And yeah, it's pretty straightforward. I think the one thing I did like, and this almost also ties into the thing that I really didn't like, is that the film, what the comic did was, it's set kind of post-Vietnam. It's set when there's not a major war going on, and that doesn't feel the right time to have this story, because she's fighting Ares, and Ares is trying to get men to fight. He's trying to get men to go to war with each other. He wants mankind to destroy itself by going to war. And that is also kind of destroying all of the Greek gods, because the men aren't going to be there to worship them anymore. So it's kind of like, it threatens humanity and it threatens the gods. The story feels like it should be taking place during actual wartime, like the movie does, which again is an improvement on this story there. What I did like, though, is the way it was resolved, is that kind of like Diana wraps Ares in the Lasso of Truth, and he sees what will happen if he is successful in his goals, which is that he will also like wither and die away, because when man destroys itself, there will be no more wars after that. And that he will kind of wither and die and go away. So he kind of accepts that he needs to take a step back from humanity, and like he will essentially have to have faith in humans continuing to fight in humanity's weakness. And he'll have to just accept that. And he says to Diana, kind of, look, it's your job. If you have more faith in them, that they're not going to do that. It's your job to try and stop them warring, and essentially what Wonder Woman's job is to create balance between the good and evil in humanity. But he's going to take a step back and hope that they just keep fighting amongst themselves, because that is what mankind does. So I thought that ending was kind of neat. There's some further stuff with her, kind of like, there's a PR woman that steps in the seventh issue and kind of tries to sell Wonder Woman to the world as a brand and an icon, which I thought was a fun kind of postmodern little bit in there as well. I think that's about as much as I want to say about it, basically, in that I thought this was good, but what it really highlighted to me was that I think we've got the origin story we deserve in the Patty Jenkins movie. I would also add on top of that I was listening to another podcast, and a podcast I'm kind of addicted to at the moment, which is Blank Check with Griffin and David. And they did a Wonder Woman episode, and they were talking about how structurally similar the film is to Moana. The animated Disney film from last year, and I rewatched Moana last weekend because everyone should rewatch that film regularly. And it very much is the case, especially in the first act. It's a very similar thing. And so I would recommend, if you like Wonder Woman and haven't seen Moana, go watch Moana because it's fantastic. So I just throw in a little recommendation there from me as well. And we'll move on now to James's recommendation, which is Wonder Woman issue 600, which comes from various writers and creative teams. I'm just looking in terms of the people who've written the stories on the front page. There's Amanda Connor, Jeff Johns, Gail Simone, Louise Simonson, J. Michael Straczynski. And this is basically a bunch of short Wonder Woman stories that were there to kind of celebrate the character for the 600th issue. I read a similar thing for Captain America's 75th birthday last year, which was where they introduced all of the stuff that has gone on to create so much controversy this year. But the actual, like, the short stories in it were really fun and wonderful and kind of, like, just people paying tributes to this character that they love. And that's kind of a similar thing here. The first story is a reference back to that first Wonder Woman arc that I was just talking about previously, referencing one of the characters and... a really sweet kind of riff on Wonder Woman's connection to humanity in that through one of those supporting characters who was in that story. That first story is written by Gail Simone and drawn by George Perez. The second one is written by Amanda Connor. She also draws it with colours from Paul Mount. And it's Wonder Woman and Power Girl in a... I think this was my favourite of the short stories here, where she is kind of having a fun superhero fight with Power Girl, and then Power Girl says, "Oh, can you help me out with something? That I heard you've got one of these other powers." And it's basically Power Girl knowing that Wonder Woman has the ability to communicate with animals and kind of, like, chats to her about her cat and how she can have a better relationship with her cat. And it's really sweet and fun, and it's just a short little story, but it's adorable. The Louise Simonson story is a fun little battle where she teams up with Superman. That was kind of slight but fun. And then there is a Jeff Johns thing that seems like it's playing on what might be about to come in the comics at that time, and that's drawn by Scott Collins. And then the J. Michael Straczynski comic comes after that with Don Kramer. It looks like it's debuting a new costume for Wonder Woman, and again playing into what was actually happening with Wonder Woman at that time in the comics. And then there is something at the end, which apparently is a sneak preview of Action Comics issue 890. And I think it's fair to say that I zoned out a little bit in the second half of this, because I kind of liked the first three, like, short Wonder Woman stories that were, like, paying tribute to this character and what a great icon she is. There's also lots of, like, individual artists have drawn, like, their take on Wonder Woman going through the comic, which is really great as well, just peppered in there, just seeing these great hero shots of Diana. And so I really enjoyed that a lot, and I thought that it was definitely a benefit to read that coming off the back of the first Wonder Woman volume 2, issues 1-7. So yeah, I enjoyed all of these to an extent. I wasn't blown away by anything, but I think it was just nice to read a bit of Wonder Woman coming off the back of the movie. And I think I just loved that movie so much. I feel like you've got a definitive version of that character right there, and that's the version that I want and I need right now, and I probably don't need any comics versions of that character until the comics start riffing more on that version of the character. I just, pretty in the bag for that movie, you guys. So that was our Wonder Woman comics, and that's it for this week's show. Don't forget that the next episode will be focused on Dread, and if you're enjoying the show, please do subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, or your podcast app of choice. Please support us on Patreon at patreon.com/cinematicuniverse, and please support the website, which is cinematicuniverse.com. You can find more episodes of the show there. You can get in touch via Facebook, where we are being a lot more active now following the launch of the website. You can follow us on Twitter, which is now @cine_verse, and you can send us an email to editorial@cinematicuniverse.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.